very happy to be joined now by Dan Shulman in LA, getting set to call game one of the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. Hey, Dan.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. So what do you make of that? So Chris Sale was so bad yesterday, and he was so good basically all regular season long, despite the home run rate being slightly elevated the last couple of months of the season. I'm a numbers guy, and I like to believe that, you know, if you're good, you're good. But it's getting harder to believe that with some guys. Some guys just seemingly are made for the postseason.
Well, this was Chris Sale's first ever start in the postseason, so mm-hmm. I don't think we can say, you know, in his case, he's not made for the postseason. I think the easy theory on Chris Sale is he wasn't as good in September. Remember, the Blue Jays hit four home runs off him just last week, I guess it was. So he wasn't as good in September. He's pitched more innings than he ever has before in a number of his seasons with the White Sox. His numbers weren't as good in the second half. Maybe he wore down a little bit. You know, so if you're looking for a reason with Sale, I think that would be the reason. Although I've always wanted to write a book that was called, you know, the other guys are trying too. Like sometimes you just get beat because the other guys had a good day. But I saw some of the game yesterday, and I didn't think his slider specifically had the crispness that it normally does. I didn't think he located it as well as he normally does. You usually see guys, remember that game he had against the Blue Jays, and Steve Pearce and some of the other guys were swinging at pitches that almost hit them in the back foot. You didn't see a lot of that crazy back foot slider from Sale yesterday. So, you know, tonight with Kershaw, as you alluded to, another guy who hasn't done great in the postseason, especially compared to the regular season, I don't think there's any, you know, psychological or emotional reason that Kershaw hasn't done as well. I think maybe the Cardinals had his pitches a couple of times when they faced him in years past. He's pitched on short rest a lot because the Dodgers needed him to. They won't in this series. So I think Kershaw's heading into this in a better frame of mind. Now, the issue is he had a back problem. He came back in September, but he wasn't lights out Clayton Kershaw. He was pretty good, but he wasn't lights out Clayton Kershaw in September. So we'll see what he does against the Diamondbacks tonight.
Do you have that copyrighted, by the way?
Have which copy? Oh, that book? Oh, I got a number of great books. I got a number of great titles. The other guys are trying to, who didn't get the job.
Oh, hold on, slow down, slow down.
I just can't write. So, but yeah, no, I should patent all the titles for these books.
Yeah, you should have, because now I just got our guy behind the glass, David Cohen, write those down. I was like, you get those, Dave? Give me a thumbs up. Got it. So who do you think's in more trouble, though? Do you think that it's the Red Sox or do you think it's the Yankees? Because Ben and I were talking before the show, it's really hard to imagine how either team gets back in this series.
Yeah, I mean, it's a five-game series, so one game seems like a lot. Things can change quickly. But in my opinion, Cleveland and Houston are both a notch above Boston and New York. And you know, I got put on the phone just as you guys were talking about Kluber. You know, they got to beat Kluber at some point or win a game that Kluber starts at some point if they're going to win the series. And it's hard to imagine anybody doing that. He's looking like, you know, a Bumgarner, Hershiser, Schilling kind of October pitcher, you know, based on what he did last year and based on the way he finished the regular season. I guess you would say the Red Sox have a better chance, but their best just got beat. Pedroia's not 100% healthy. Nunez is not 100% healthy. They got questions in the rotation, questions in the bullpen. I would be shocked, I think, if it's not Cleveland and Houston in the American League Championship Series.
We haven't really talked that much about this, but I wonder what the future of John Farrell is if they go out meekly again in a DS. Of course, they were swept by the Indians last season. Do you think he might be managing for his job here in this series against the Astros?
I think it's possible, and not necessarily just based on win or lose, but, you know, closeness, effort, you know, those kinds of things. You know, Farrell's been there longer than Dave Dombrowski, and just about every president or GM, GM, but who comes in, eventually they want to have their own guy. We've talked about that a lot in Toronto, obviously. So I think it's possible. Farrell comes under a lot of criticism in Boston. I think some of it is not reasonable. I think it's a very tough baseball town. It's like hockey is in Toronto. I mean, it's just you're under the microscope all the time. But do I think it's possible he could be let go if they lose the series? Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah, it does feel like every borderline decision that doesn't go his way is way overly scrutinized compared to some other managers. And maybe, it is the Boston effect, but it does feel like there is a little bit of extra animosity towards Farrell.
I think so. And I think one of the strange things about baseball is when managers are evaluated, I think sometimes they're evaluated almost entirely on their bullpens, on how they use their bullpens. If you look at Boston or Toronto or, you know, for that matter, how many decisions are being made in terms of the everyday lineup. Not that many. Mm-hmm. It's pretty standard. You know, these are your nine guys. There aren't that many decisions that managers have to make. How many decisions in an American League game are being made in terms of pinch hitting? Like some, but not that many. Certainly not as many as a National League manager. So I think it comes down to the bullpen a lot. When did you take out your starter? You know, why did you leave this guy in for only one out? Why not give him another inning instead of having to go to that guy? And you know, Boston's bullpen's actually been pretty good this year, so the numbers are very good. But I think the overall numbers, the ERA and stuff, flatter them a little bit. They have had some kind of high-profile implosions at times. But I think, you know, when you've got Kenley Jansen, when you've got Mariano Rivera, when you've got, you know, great, great guys, and you've got depth in your bullpen, it makes the game a lot easier to manage. So I think some of the criticism has been unfair towards John Farrell.
Well, so speaking of that bullpen then, is if they win this series, is the wild card, I guess, David Price?
Yes. I think David Price has a chance to be a real factor. He pitched a few times at the end of the season, as you guys know, in relief, and for the most part did extremely well. I watched one of the games that he was pitching out of the bullpen, and he hit 98 on the fastball. I mean, he can let it air out because he knows he's only going to go one, two, maybe as many as three innings. We'll have to wait and see. But he did really well out of the bullpen in September, and I think he's going to be a big factor. But I think they need more than that if they're going to win. I mean, they need Pomerantz to pitch well. They need Porcello to pitch. Like, they need to really count on some starting pitchers. They're playing a team in Houston that is unbelievable offensively. Like, Altuve's just the beginning of it. You know, you look at the 7-8-9, if you look at Houston's regular season OPS mm-hmm. from their 7-8-9 hitters, it was better than the average team's 3-4-5 hitters. Think about that. Yeah. Their 7-8-9 hitters did more offensively than an average team's 3-4-5 hitters. There are no easy outs in that lineup. The addition of Verlander, obviously huge for them. And I think the bullpen, which is a bit of a concern, but I think they've lined it up. The last couple of weeks, they kind of got it together. I think they know who they are in the bullpen right now. They've got Davinsky, they've got Gregerson, they've got Giles. I think they've got some pretty good guys for the last three innings. This Houston team is legit.
Talking to Dan Shulman. All right, what about the team you're about to see tonight in the Los Angeles Dodgers, who were the talk of baseball for a good portion of the season? We had them pegged for 117 wins, and then that didn't quite happen. I can't help but feel that if they had gone on to win as many games as we thought they might and going into the postseason, yes, the pressure would still be on, but there'd be a greater sense of excitement around that team. Now it feels like, oh, there's like a more of a nervous feeling around the Dodgers. What do you get the sense of around that team?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, and this is, the Dodgers are a great example of how the more we know about baseball, like maybe the only thing we should say that we know about baseball is it's impossible to predict. It is, in my opinion, definitely crazier than the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL. You know, whoever thought a team could go 56-11 mm-hmm. in a 67-game stretch and then immediately lose 16 of their next 17 games? Never happened before. I mean, nothing ever close to this has ever happened before. So, you know, it's not just the crazy highs and then that long losing streak this year, but you got to pile on top of that the fact that they've won the National League West now 5 years in a row and didn't get to the World Series any of the last four. In fact, haven't been to the World Series, as you know, since 1988. They've been in the playoffs 10 times since 1988 and haven't been to the World Series. And for the Dodgers, I don't think it's win World Series or bust, but I think it's get to the World Series or bust. They need to show that their plan is working, that all this depth that they've accumulated during the regular season, which is great. You know, if Ryu needs a break, they put Maeda in. If Maeda needs a break, they put McCarthy in. If McCarthy needs a break, they go to somebody else. They've got unbelievable depth. But in the playoffs, you only need 25. You don't need 35, 40, 45 guys. And is their system suited for the postseason? I think they've got an advantage over Arizona. The narrative is going into this series, hey, Arizona beat them 11 out of 19. Hey, Arizona mm-hmm. crushed them six times during that losing streak. And that's all true. I think Arizona comes in unafraid, unintimidated, very confident. But Kershaw didn't start any of those six games, and Darvish didn't start any of those six games. So I think that has to be taken into consideration. Arizona's good, and they know it, but I still think the Dodgers have to be looked at as the favorites coming into the series.
The beginning of your answer made me feel better and worse about how I've been losing gambling on the postseason so far. Just so you know, it is impossible to predict, so I feel like a fool for doing it. But I also feel justified in being wrong because it's just impossible to pick. So it's not really my fault. By the way, if you want to use something in the broadcast tonight, Ben and I were debating this yesterday. I feel like the Dodgers are essentially the Washington Capitals of baseball, where it's like, yeah, you do. You keep getting in and you keep failing to get to the big dance. You haven't made that World Series. So I'm glad that you brought that up. But he believes that the Nationals are probably the more appropriate answer as in terms of who they are closer to the Capitals. That said, who do you think more pressure is on right now? Is it the Dodgers or the Nationals to get this done?
I think it's a little bit different. I think the Nationals have their pressure is just get out of the first round because they haven't been able to do that. They lost in the division series last year and in 14 and in 12 and all in excruciatingly painful fashion. The Dodgers, I think their pressure is a little bit greater because it's get to the World Series. So I think there's pressure on both, to be honest with you. It's funny that the Cubs come in here. Like, look how long we've been talking. We've been talking for 15 minutes. We haven't said the Chicago Cubs. They're only the most high-profile team in baseball. They're only the defending World Series champions. But somehow they're kind of flying under the radar, and all the pressure's on the Dodgers and the Nationals. And I agree with that. I think that's true. So, but to answer your original question, I think the pressure is a little bit different. If the Nationals beat the Cubs, I think that gets the monkey off their back. But I think the Dodgers need to go at least get to the World Series to help take the pressure off them.
What? Okay, so the Diamondbacks are going to start Taijuan Walker today. Do we know a starter for Game 2? Because they used their top two starters in the wild card game, which had a lot of people's eyebrows raised. Is there any discussion about that strategic move for the Diamondbacks?
Well, I don't think they feel they have much of a choice because Robbie Ray had to throw 34 pitches. I thought they might bring him back and think of it in Game 2 and think of it maybe as a throw day. And I still think they might. If they pitch Robbie Ray in Game 2, they can pitch him in Game 5 on regular rest. You've got an off day after 2 and an off day after 4, like the Indians are doing with Kluber, 2 and 5. So I still think there. I haven't heard in the last hour, and I've been like on their team's Twitter feed in the last 20 minutes, haven't seen anything. So I still think it's a possibility that Ray starts Game 2. He was lights out against the Dodgers. I mean, and he may not be a household name. I don't know how many folks back home have seen him, but the strikeout numbers and he is terrific. I mean, he's a lefty and a big arm, big breaking ball. He's really good. So we know we're going to see Greinke in 3, but right now, in terms of 2, I think it could be Ray, it could be Zach Godley, it could be Patrick Corbin, and this, I think, reinforces one of the things baseball was trying to do. If you want to have things lined up properly going into the postseason, win your division. And Arizona, although they had a great year, wasn't able to win their division, and now they're kind of scrambling heading into the division series. And this is the advantage you get when you win your division. It's a big break for the Dodgers. I mean, if the Diamondbacks had been lined up the way they wanted to, it would be Ray in 1, Greinke in 3, Ray in 5. Now, they can still do it if they put Robbie Ray in there in 2, but I'm not sure how comfortable they feel about doing that.
Well, that's the thing too, right? They're going to have to get something from their starting pitching because they kind of have to hide that bullpen. And even Archie Bradley and Fernando Rodney gave up runs in that wild card game. So that's probably your biggest disadvantage, right? If you're a Diamondbacks fan, is thinking we can't let this get into a bullpen matchup.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. It's the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers bullpen is not foolproof. It's not bulletproof. Jansen is the best closer in baseball was this year. Brandon Morrow's been very good. Beyond that, some questions, although I think they got a couple of pretty good lefties, Watson especially. But the Arizona bullpen is not its strength. You're absolutely right. If Arizona's going to win this series, I think they're going to do it by hitting the Dodgers starting pitching. I think they're going to get out to leads. And, you know, if they have a 7-3 lead and it winds up 7-5, they're going to sweat, but they're still going to win. I think if Arizona wins, whether it's Kershaw or whether that means getting to Darvish, Hill, and Wood, I think it means I don't think Arizona can come from behind very easily or play a bullpen game. I think they got to get out in front if they're going to win some games.
It is weird, though, Dan. I can't help but evaluate teams differently now. And I know it's a small sample size of the four postseason games we've seen, but it goes back to last year and what the Indians were able to do. That it's like, oh, you've got a nice starter, do you? Well, big deal. The other team has the better bullpen. It gets magnified to such an incredible degree this month. Whether you have the firearms coming out of your bullpen, it's seemingly more important than having an ace.
Yeah, the game has changed, and I don't think it's ever going to go back. I mean, bullpens are more important than they ever were in the regular season, and that's even heightened in the postseason because of the off days. Like, Terry Francona couldn't pitch Miller, Shaw, and Allen for 6 months the way that he did last October. Obviously, they'd all blow their arms out. But for 4 weeks, you can do it. And you know, Cleveland did it last year. Kansas City did it when they won the World Series and went to the World Series the year before. The Giants did it at times when they were having their great years. The Yankees are building their team that way. A lot of teams are building that way. It used to be, hey, let's get the starter out early and get into the weaker guys in the bullpen. The weaker guys in the bullpen are legit these days for most teams. They're throwing 95. So, and with everybody only going one inning in matchups, it just favors bullpen work. I think one way they could try to help it a little bit is take away some of the off days in the postseason. It doesn't make sense to me that the game is played differently in October than it is in the regular season. Yeah. That what you have that made you a great team over 162 may not be the same thing that helps you win in October. And I think the teams with the deep bullpens benefit from having all the off days. And other than it would be a little bit tiring, say, if New York had to go to Anaheim or Seattle or Oakland and vice versa, whatever. Like, why not play 7 days? Why not play a seven-game series with 7 days in a row? Why not make it like it is in the regular season? I assume the answer is television and revenue and wanting to spread things out a little bit and have more windows in which to play games and generate viewers and stuff like that. But I wouldn't mind seeing some of the off days go away.
I wouldn't mind seeing like a game that ends in less than 4 hours, especially when it starts at 10:30 tonight, Dan.
Amen. So I flew west yesterday, which means I woke up at like 4:30 in the morning today.
Oh.
I'm still on East Coast time, so I don't think I'll fall asleep during the game tonight. But we got the late one tonight. But yeah, I mean, when you got four games in a day, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, the NBA playoffs are the same. How many times have we seen an NBA playoff doubleheader? One game starts at like 8:10 Eastern, and the next one starts at like 10:40 or 10:45 Eastern. There's not much you can do when there are four games in one day. I just say, you know, let's embrace it. You know, sit in front of the TV or turn the radio on all day and gorge yourself on 12 hours of baseball.
I can't wait to do just that very thing. Maybe today a good day to enjoy your first black coffee. Dan, thanks for this.
All right, guys, thanks.